BBC newsroom for a newsflash. We've just heard from Scotland Yard that a very dangerous pantomime has escaped from the Victoria Palace maximum bikeway ring. The public are advised not to try to approach this pantomime or do anything silly, like bathing their feet in warm treacle and going... The show in question is described as having a pale, Caucasian wishy-washy with prominent twankies and a six-foot dandini. Police fear that it may by now have false abanazas, rendering it virtually undetectable in heavy traffic. The public are asked to phone this number immediately if they are offered a glass slipper to try on under suspicious circumstances. And that is the end of this newsflash.
This is Radio 4.
Oh, no, it isn't!
Oh, yes, it is!
Oh, no, it isn't!
Oh, my God. Stop! Pantomime!
Find life is just a pantomime? Do you yearn for that moral uplift to give meaning to your existence? Do you crave that inspirational theism that will kindle the embers of your soul? Do you quite like Malcolm Muggeridge? Well, with the help of Joe Kendall, Nigel Reese, Chris Emmett, and Fred Harris, the Beggar's Way to Dynamic Living will solve all your problems. Stay tuned now to Lesson 9 in our incredible series of correspondence courses, Gain Spiritual Fulfillment, the Beggar's Way. Hello again. Hello. Well, before we begin this week's course of the Berkey's Way to Dynamic Living, here is an important announcement.
Because of a rule laid down in the government charter, the BBC is severely limited in the amount of comedy it is allowed to broadcast. A maximum of 6 laughs is in fact permitted on the air each evening. Normally, of course, the BBC is able to keep well below that figure. But tonight, with the Prime Minister's broadcast to the nation coming up, we've been allowed only one slightly suppressed chortle for this entire program. And that was it.
Now, for the remainder of tonight's show, we shall, I'm afraid, have to be entirely serious. We've even cut out the reference to Nicholas Parsons' brain transplant and how the monkey is struggling for recovery. Because we're determined not to get any cheap laughs at his expense.
In addition, we've engaged a highly skilled BBC audience who have been specially trained not to laugh, cheer, giggle, simper, smile, or in any way enjoy themselves. If you've ever watched the 9 o'clock news on television, you'll know just how inconspicuous they can be.
Well, all this sobriety is in fact especially appropriate tonight because this program is all about religious beliefs. How to gain spiritual fulfillment the Berkey's way. In primeval days, many people believed life stemmed from the enormous red object that rose in the east and set in the west. Others believed it stemmed from the sun. Well, we're not going to tell you which god we worship because, as Professor Emil Berkis says, your faith is a very private thing. It certainly isn't something to be bandied about for personal gain, as I think this next item clearly demonstrates.
Good morning. Is this the insurance office, my life?
Yes, that's correct.
I've come about a policy. I want to insure myself.
I see.
I want to insure myself against becoming Jewish.
That's... I'm sorry.
I want to insure myself against becoming Jewish. Maximum cover, not too high a premium, with an investment and endowment scheme, if possible.
Yeah, look, perhaps you'd better take a seat.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Are you comfortable?
I'll get by.
Now, look, what you suggest is, of course, a reasonable idea, yes, but we would want to be satisfied that the risk of your becoming Jewish was, as it were, minimized as far as possible.
You mean you think I'm already Jewish?
Oh, no.
Oh, you think I'm Jewish already?
No.
If you think I'm Jewish, just come right out and say it.
I think you're Jewish. Oh, no, really. No, I don't think that. Look, Look, perhaps we'd better just take your name, Mr.
Abrams. Abrams.
That's a nice name.
And the address?
35 Bar Mitzvah Gardens, NW11.
Yes. Now, look, Mr. Abrahams...
Oh, please, call me Reuben.
Reuben, look, I don't personally doubt your sincerity, of course, no, but I can't answer for my superiors.
Superior schmooperiors, look... Can't they take a man's word he's not Jewish?
Now, there you are, you see. Now, that's the sort of thing that would arouse their suspicions, that Jewish expression.
I can't help my face. Look, anyway, believe me, I'm not Jewish. See how miserable I am? Jewish people, they're funny. They've got a great sense of humor. Look at Max Bygraves.
Now, Max Bygraves isn't Jewish.
Exactly. Believe me, I am a Gentile. I'm as goy as they come.
Mr. Abrahams, it strikes me that you don't fully understand the principles of insurance.
What?
Well, look, perhaps I'd better explain.
Oh, go on, Nick.
Insurance. Insurance is where the client pays out vast sums of money each month to a company like ours.
Yes?
Yes. Well, that's the principle of insurance, you see. You see, it would be utterly impractical for us to insure you against something when there was the biggest likelihood of it happening. Now, if you wanted us to insure you against becoming a Catholic...
Oh, do me a favor. You think I'm stupid? What do I want with a policy against conversion to Catholicism? I mean...
The premium, only £1 a month.
I'll take it.
Thank you, sir. If you just sign here...
There we are.
Fine. Good day, sir. Pleasure to have done business with you.
Good day, good day. Oh, dear. Oh, well, that worked a treat, Murphy. Come on, where's the next one? Come on.
Well, in accordance with BBC courtesy regulations, we'd like to apologize for any offense that sketch may have caused to people of a Jewish disposition.
Yes. We'd also like to apologize to all snotty little pasty-faced insurance clerks who just want to con you for the commission, all people by the name of Max Bygraves, and all Irish confidence tricksters. And we'd also like to apologize to all chubby chancellors of the Exchequer with big eyebrows for the next item.
Hello. It's very difficult trying to save in these troubled times, isn't it? That's why more and more people are putting their money in the Healy Building Society. You see, we at Healy know what we're doing. With your money, we can build up sound investments in top money-spinning companies. Companies like the Tel Aviv Pork Pie Company. The Mary Celeste Shipping Lines. And, of course, the Krakatoa Noise Abatement Society. Simply write now for further details to the Healy Building Society, brackets, I must be going batty, Stepney. You know it makes sense.
Mr. Healy, who is, of course, nothing short of a brilliant chancellor. Sorry, I read that wrong. Mr. Healy, who is, of course, nothing... short of a brilliant chancellor, Britain has no... Well, the government's economic strategy brings us to prayers, which brings us back to religion.
The church can, of course, be the scene of great joy or great sadness. We all know there's nothing quite so sad as that tragic moment when they carry your poor old Uncle Silas slowly down the aisle, and you think to yourself, the old fool couldn't even stay sober for his own wedding.
Being in church is not a time to sit and stare at the knees of the girl in the adjoining pew. It's time to think of higher things. Above all, it's a time for honoring the church collection. Don't put in a measly little pound note. Be more generous. Put in a milk bottle top or a couple of buttons.
Couple of what?
Buttons.
Coming, Zinder.
I'm not quite sure what's going on here. I think we'd better get straight on with our next item.
Opnoon, I'm the plumber, madam.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I've come to install a new pope in your bathroom.
I beg your pardon?
I've come to install a new pope in your bathroom.
You mean pipe?
No, pope. Look, it's written down there.
No, that's a mistake.
Oh, I see. I thought it was a bit funny. Pope in the bathroom. Well, where would you like your Pope, then?
I beg your pardon. Look, I don't want it anywhere. I don't want a Pope in my house at all.
Oh, you'll never forget it, madam. More and more people are going over to papal heating nowadays, you know.
Papal heating?
Oh, yes, a couple of pontiffs in each room and a cardinal on the landing. Just the thing for the winter. Right, shall I make a start?
The whole thing's obviously a typing error.
You try telling the 35-gallon inquisitor I've got in the van he's a typing error. Anyway, I get you.
But I don't understand. Do you mean to say people actually have major Roman Catholics instead of radiators?
That's right, madam. That's right. As seen in the Sunday supplements. Now, for here, let's see. You'd need a Benedict 14th under the window, then, say, two Pius 9ths along this wall, coupled to a Monseigneur over the sink, and maybe a small primate stove on the landing. Would you like a demonstration?
Well, all right, then.
Right. Harry, bring us in that Clement and a small adjustable Gregory, will you? That's it. Pass me that S-bend Innocent the 13th. Ta. Now, there we are, madam. That's just a small Clement the 3rd. For a proper system, you'd need a new cold water system.
Look, it's all very nice, of course.
Yes, yes.
Well, with no disrespect.
Oh, what, madam, what?
Well, it doesn't seem to be very hot.
Well, neither would you be if you'd been buried in the Vatican since 1543.
Te sub extrema plausis, telluris avantris auditur, prima manus belli terras.
Excuse me?
Yes?
I think this Pope's leaking.
Well, hang on, I'll just tighten him with me spanner. There we are, madam. I think that should work all right.
What's happening? I'm being swept off my feet. I'm being picked up by great swirling winds and lifted high into the air. Oh, help! Get me down! I'm being whisked away. I'm floating in the air with my skirts billowing and my limbs flailing around me. And oh, if only I was on television.
Why?
I wouldn't have to keep giving this ridiculous running commentary on everything.
Hey, what do I do now?
Well, I'm sorry, there appears to be another slight hitch there in our program. In the meantime, we'll... Oh, excuse me.
This is your fairy godmother here. I am speaking on behalf of the escaped pantomime, which has now taken refuge in your program. As from now, you must not be surprised if some of our characters start popping up in your sketches.
What have you done with the woman in the last item?
The housewife in the Pope's sketch has been whisked off by Aladdin's wicked uncle to his magic castle and is at this moment being laid in the dungeon. Lucky girl. And I must now ask you for the ransom. Can you put your hands on a huge pumpkin?
Not without being taken off the air. Look, I'm not paying you a penny.
Very well. In that case, I must hand you over to the pantomime gang Strong Arm Man. Prince Charming, they're being awkward. All right, leave it to me. Now listen, Chief, that's a nice show you got there.
Thank you.
But it'd be a pity if something happened to it, like, do you follow my meaning, John?
What are you getting at?
Well, me and the ugly sisters were thinking it'd be a real shame if it got, like, pantoed up a bit. Understand me, Squire?
Enough. We're not having any of your cheap pantomime comedy on this show. It's supposed to be a serious discourse on spiritual enlightenment. This is the BBC, you know, not a vehicle for entertainment.
Is that your last word?
It probably will be.
Very well, but you'll be sorry.
Rubbish. Well, we're very sorry about that, ladies.
Don't
told you, sir.
Get out. We shall endeavor to press on now with the more serious topic of moral awakening. Now, one of the guiding principles in religion is to try and keep your soul untainted for that time when you meet your maker. The time on this occasion being 11:15 p.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Michael Chacho.
Hello. If my tongue looks a bit darker than usual tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's because I've just been recording an interview with Orson Welles, who, of course, does wear very dark shoes. My first guest tonight, however, rarely has need of such footwear. Dean Martin once said of him, he's hick, burp, hick, one of the burp, hick, hick, hick nicest hick, hick, burp in the business. Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome, please, Almighty God. Welcome to the show, and just take a seat there. Well, Almighty, can I call you Al? I've just been reading your book, actually. Excuse me. Which I must say I enjoyed immensely. I think it was probably Gene Kelly who said, when I were a lad in Barnsley. I mean, can you tell me, what was it like working with Cecil B. DeMille? Well, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but we're running a little short of time, so let's finish now, if we may, with a clip taken from one of your films, Almighty. This is the scene where the angels of death have come to destroy the cities of the plain.
Here are you, young woman. Can you tell us the way to Sodom?
No. This is the city of Gomorrah, if that's any use.
We hear tell these cities are dens of iniquity, that the people in this place think of nothing but vice and promiscuity and wild orgies and sex and eroticism. And stop doing that while I'm talking to you.
Sorry.
Come. We must look into these houses to see if there be any whom we should spare.
Yes?
Ah, good morrow, old woman.
We are the angels of death, withered old crone.
Yes, we have come to raise this city to the ground, ugly old scarecrow.
And we must find out whether you deserve to be spared, flea-ridden, diseased old bat.
Not today, thank you.
What do you mean, not today, decrepit, worm-eaten, disgustingly palsied old harpy?
You can't come in.
Whose house is this, grisly, disfigured, cadaverous, squalidly haggard old cow? Who art no oil painter?
This is the house of Lot, nephew of Abraham.
Who's that at the door, gruesomely odious old Arabic?
It's the angels of death come to destroy the city, dear.
Tell them to come in, cankerously repellent old bitch.
He says, come in.
Thank you.
Now then, what do you want?
We have much work to carry out in this iniquitous land. We have orders to purge it of its misdeeds in a maelstrom of fire and brimstone, haven't we?
That's correct, puss.
Exactly. But you and your family are to be saved. All you have to... Puss? What do you mean?
What?
You just call me puss.
Nonsense.
Yes, you did. You distinctly call me puss. You said, that's correct, puss.
I don't think I did.
Yes, you did.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he... Hang on, where did that audience come from? What's going on here?
Nothing.
Well... As I was saying, you and your family must flee the city, but whatever you do, you must not look behind you.
Mustn't look where?
Behind you!
Look out, Deborah thing. This has gone far enough. This is developing into a pantomime, isn't it?
Of course it isn't.
Well, if it's not a pantomime, why are you wearing those fishnet tights?
Well,
I thought so.
You're all members of that escape panto gang, aren't you? Well, that's it. I'm leaving.
Well, thank goodness he's gone, boys and girls. Now then, I think it's time to massacre the town, don't you?
No!
Oh, no! Oh, yes, here he is.
And so the ruthless Pantomime Gang's reign of terror continued. All over the frightened BBC, people were spared no mercy. The entire casts of The News and Yesterday in Parliament were forced to wear silly hats and join in with boring songs. Those who refused to cooperate were dragged off to the Sleeping Beauty, where they were subjected to excruciating jokes like, what's the difference between a famous nursery rhyme character and a sex-crazed father? Answer, one mother's a goose. Even the most harmless programs were infiltrated by the gang's agents.
Walter, we haven't seen you round here much just lately.
Well, to be honest, my old my duty. I've been feeling too well on account of me poor old back.
Still, I understand you took Farmer Applecroft's cow down to the market for him yesterday. Did you get a good price?
Well, now I ain't one to boast, but I think I done rather well out of the deal. Look at what I managed to get for her.
Let me see that. A bag of beans? Is this all you got, Walter? One measly little bag of beans for a whole cow?
Well, now don't be getting on to me, Doris. He was a nice, honest-looking chap what gave me them beans. He said they was magic beans.
Give me those. They're going out of the window.
Well, wait. They was magic beans. Look.
Good Lord, you're right. They're playing the vibes.
But even as the evil panto gang wrought havoc throughout the broadcasting industry, a new, more frightening gang were to threaten their superiority.
Hello. And in Nationwide tonight, we have a man from Brighton who picks his nose in front of television cameras, a couple in Norwich who race bricks, and an old-age pensioner in Newcastle who thinks he's a spoonful of salad dressing. But first, the story about the new gang who are posing a threat to the pantomime hooligans, the so-called carol singer boys. Well, just when and where they like to...
Boys.
So, Barrett, you decided not to pay the protection. Okay, buddy, you asked for it. Muggsy?
Yeah.
Angelo, Stiletto?
Yeah.
Let's let them have it.
Okay, boss. Okay.
Ding dong merrily on high. In heaven the bells are ringing.
Oh, no.
Soon, gang warfare between the pantomime characters and the carol singers was raging like a blitzkrieg throughout the cowering city. The police department did everything they could, but it was hard to get people to come forward.
Good evening, and welcome to Police 5. Just a few little matters to clear up, first of all. The warehouse robbery in Biggin Hill at the weekend. Look carefully at this picture. Were you in Biggin Hill on Saturday? Did you pass close to this warehouse? Did you perhaps go up to the side door and force the lock open with a jemmy? Perhaps you remember putting on a stocking mask, breaking in and stealing goods worth over £500, then making off with them in your getaway car. If you do, please contact the Biggin Hill Police Brutality Squad at this number. Your call could help solve the case.
But no amount of appealing by the authorities was to bring in the hoods. On the 29th of December 1976, the Panto Gang and the Carol Singer Boys each held a council of war and decided there was only one way to thrash out their differences. It would have to be a football match to the death.
Good afternoon and welcome to Wembley for this afternoon's Panto versus Carol Singers Cup time.
And there are the teams just coming out onto the pitch. First, the Panto squad. The pantomime horse had to drop out at the last minute, I'm afraid, owing to a buttock and nose injury. But skipper Baron Hardup's put Humpty Dumpty in goal in his place. Also out is Dandini, who had to retire hurt with a limp. But they're expecting his wrist to heal up by next week. Over to the singers, who've made up their team entirely from Christmas Carol characters. Only a few changes there. Wenceslas is back in the side after a hip injury, but there's no poor Robin on the wing this afternoon. His place taken by Figgy Pudding at number six. Well, on with the game now. Your commentator is half drunk.
And it's Mother Goose. Mother Goose now, Goose to Abenaza, Abenaza to Buttons. Buttons, and there's the speciality juggling act coming up, unmarked now. Buttons to speciality juggling act, and Twankie. Twankie, Twankie now. Wenceslas trying for a tackle by that. Ah, no, it's a foul. A foul by Puss there, who quite deliberately put the boot in. Ah, no, it won't do him any good arguing with the referee like that. It was a very clear foul. In fact, the pantomime coach is coming on now at... Oh, dear, it's turned back into a pumpkin. Tell me, what do you think, Jack Charlton?
Oh, we are you kind of wouldn't
thank you, Jack. Like... Thank you, Jack. And they play on. It's Wenceslas to the three ships now. Three ships now. They've got it. And the three ships are sailing by. And it's a shot. Oh, well saved by Dumpty there. Jack Charlton.
Oh, we are you kind of wouldn't
thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jack. And that has to Riding Hood. Riding Hood. And there's Twankie. Twankie to Hubbard. Hubbard and Winky. Winky, it's, yes, it's Wee Willie. I can see from here. And Charming. Charming's got it. And who's this coming up to the ball now? It's Cinderella. Cinderella is going to the ball now. Yes, she is going to the ball. And what a marvelous end to this game.
Well, that ends our course on how to gain spiritual fulfillment the Burgess way. Moral guidance of sorts was given by Joe Kendall, Nigel Reese, Chris Abbott, and Fred Harris. But remember, let he who is without sin stone the first cast. The scriptures were by Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, and it was producer Simon Brett of Stepney who said, let there be light entertainment. See you next year, folks, and happy dynamic living.
Yes, and the excitement's mounting, and the excitement's mounting. Yes, and the excitement, here we come, here we come. And the ball has gone over the punchline. So that means we're now into injury time.